Well, I'm excited to stand in front of you beginning this new year with you together and start up with the Explore God. Does life have a purpose? So we are not alone in engaging in these seven-week series. You will hear sermons on it. We have study groups on it and discuss the seven big questions in life. We start out, does life have a purpose? 800 ministries in Chicagoland area, as of today, January 13th, for 7 weeks, are engaging in this conversation. The purpose, why are we doing this? To reach out and have an open conversation, not all the answers, an open conversation with people in our community. So this is not particularly designed for us as a church to come together and do it. It's designed to reach out and invite friends and says, let's have an open conversation. I know you have these questions when suffering appears, when we think about meaning of life, when we think about Bible. Is this relevant or not nowadays? So let's have this conversation. Every week we will start off with a one-minute clip that gives you an information. We encourage very much all of you to be a part of it, and I will say more in a few moments. So let's take a look at this one-minute clip, what people are saying about life have a purpose.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that, because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
So, make the world a better place. Does that matter that we come together on Sundays, on Saturday, during the week? Does it matter that we are thinking about our own lives here, that we are here on this planet, go to work every week on Monday and raise a family? Does this really matter? How are we making a difference? So, this is a question that I ask myself. And I was looking for an answer quite a long time ago, and I probably would have said, well, it's okay to set some goals, but I don't know exactly what my purpose is. And then other people told me, Stefan, they said, I think your purpose and what you need to do is become a pastor. I said, well, this is your opinion. It's not mine. Well, think about it. So you need to find your purpose, and I think the purpose is becoming a pastor. So I was struggling for a long time to figure that out until, and I tell you how it happened in my life, and I hope you can think about it too and reflect and what it might be your purpose. I was standing in a room, intensive care unit, and there the person was connected with a lot of wires, and it became obvious that he was only alive because of the machines. And his wife was crying. And she had a very, very loud voice. And she literally yelled at me and says, do something about it. Either he lives or he dies. So now a guy stands there, doesn't know what his purpose is, wasn't sure of becoming a pastor or not. I was doing a training program, becoming a chaplain. And so what in the world am I going to say now? And I didn't like hospitals in the first place, and I was very nervous, and I was standing there and saying a prayer in English, and after I finished the Lord's Prayer, there was this monotone tone of the machine right after we said amen, and the gentleman passed away. I was shook up. The wife didn't yell anymore. She was calm. She said, thank you to me. What did I do? And she said, thank you. She could die in peace. Thank you for being there for us in this moment, praying with us. I went home, I went on my knees and says, God, something happened here. I hardly could say a prayer in English because this happened in Downers Grove at Good Samaritan Hospital just when I arrived here from Germany. And now what? So I opened myself up, said, God, if you're that kind of a God who helps me in situation like this, so maybe I need to put myself and says, I'm in. I want to become a pastor. I'm willing to give it all. I was reading a word from a New Testament scholar, Stephen Patterson, who was saying, we believe in a God who demands all, and a God who gives all. I agree with this. After my prayer, I was all in. I received a call, and I fell in love with Melanie, and you know the rest of the story. I found my purpose by connecting my life to God. I remember, though, when I committed my life to God's work, I felt like I was letting go all my securities. And I had a few securities, an apartment in Germany. I had this all lined up going back, and I had to let go. Everything let go. It was like literally stepping out on a tightrope, and you need to know, I don't like heights. So going on a tightrope, woo, and then going to the other side, this is what it took for me to figure out what my purpose is. Today, I found great joy leading people to Christ and helping them to discover their purpose in life. I believe that each one of us has a God-given gift or gifts and a unique purpose for our lives. Now, many people live their lives searching for meaning and purpose by trying out many things that this world offers. In our reading that we just heard, our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer who is called Kohelet, which Luther translated with Prediger, or we would say preacher. So the preacher in this book described what he saw, maybe describing King Solomon by saying, now here is a guy who inquired great wisdom and knowledge to find meaning, but at the end of the day it was all chasing after the wind. He did not find meaning. He tried out great wealth in form of beautiful buildings, silver, gold, but again, it didn't satisfy him. He possessed great power, more power than any other king around him. Vanity, he said, chasing after the wind. Nothing I gained under the sun. It seems that we today continuously need to hear that self-indulgence and consumption will not lead us to a meaningful and satisfying life. Interestingly, that during his presidency, Jimmy Carter said that we are still not far removed from Kohelet, this guy. Several thousand years he said that. Carter said, human identity is no longer defined by what one does, by what one owns. But we have discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning. We have learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of our lives, which have no confidence or purpose. End of quote. We will not find purpose in life achieving things or knowledge. We cannot find purpose through our own mind, our own thinking, our own hard work. We might be able to find to achieve goals, but find deep meaning, we are not able to. And there is a difference between life goal and life and live purposeful lives. Life goals is what we have in mind of our lives to achieve. But living a purposeful life is what God has in mind for you. And there's a difference. Each one of us can write down a few goals, easy. Sometimes you have to do that for work. But the purpose that God has for you is a different story. Now, Jesus talks about this topic in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He says, we often worry when we are trying to achieve things in life or simply trying to make it through life. We worry, are sick sometimes, figuring things out. We live in an incredible anxious culture. Most days, life feels like one worry strung after another, like lights on a morbid Christmas tree. We worry about finances, health, children, aging parents, about our work and what the future will bring. Worrying keeps us awake at night, and it does can create some health issues. Worrying does not solve problems and for sure does not make our lives more enjoyable. Worries attend us like bees on a honey. It is interesting to find out that the Greek word for worry means split attention or divided concern. Jesus points out that we often worry about food, clothing, and what we drink. When we worry, then we divide our attention between God and all the stuff of life. When we worry, we focus on which troubles us. We worry about the things we don't have, the things we are not in control of. And we worry about the things that scare us in life. That means we separate our attention. Whenever we worry, make sure we split our attention from God, turning away. Jesus points out, whenever we do that, split our attention from God, we start to worry and become anxious. Now, Jesus knows this dilemma. He knows what he's talking about. It's not just a theory or whatever. He had a moment in his life where he worried too, right before he went to the cross, all the pain. He was human also. But then he says this. This is so powerful. He says to all of the people who listen to him, he says, you know what the solution is? What will help you to maneuver through this life with worrying is strive first for the kingdom of God. Wow. Strive first for the kingdom of God. Look always out for God, because God is filled with abundance and generous love. When we focus on God, our worries are lessened. We still have to deal with them, but we learn from Jesus how to redirect our focus so that the tunnel vision we have, let's be honest, when we worry, we have this tunnel vision. We see just the problem, overwhelms us, whatever it is, and it's very hard to see that there's anything else out there. But if we strive first for the kingdom of God, all of a sudden the tunnel becomes wider and there's going to be light coming in. And all of a sudden people come towards us and says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you. We might find some solution. Now, as I get older, I figured something out. That each challenge we are facing in life or each crisis we are going through, financial crisis, health crisis, has an amazing, powerful opportunity to grow and learn and turn it into something good. So now you're thinking, well, is that true? If somebody is really, really sick, can that be turned into something good or something? Probably one of the most meaningful conversations I had with people who were very sick, and they talked about life and were clinging on God, what they had to say about life and faith and hope. Jesus convinced that if God is in the center of our lives, worries are not, and we are able to learn and deal whatever we are facing. Now, I'm giving you a real-life example from our Christmas break we took in Tennessee. We went on a cattle farm. Never had been on a cattle farm. So parents-in-law rented a house on this cattle farm, so the whole family, cousin and parents and sister-in-law, we all gathered there. And so every day we took walks, and there were cattle, and there were woods, and the kids went into the woods and had a great time. And as on our walks, pretty much every day I ran into Larry. Larry was the farm manager. He was my age, and immediately when I met him, we had a connection. I sensed that Larry had a purpose in life, that he was had tremendous inner peace, and he was filled with joy. He loved his job, being a farm manager of a large farm, and people worked for him, and he just loved it. So he shared, whenever we met him, he stopped and shared stories about his life and about farming and about family and what was important for him. And there's one story he shared, well, that I want to share with you, that just I can't forget. And I think the story describes who he is. He said, I grew up, my dad had a big farm. We had 900 cattle, and so I grew up with it, and I loved it. But my dad loved to buy Coca-Cola cases, and so he put them outside No, in Tennessee, it's not as cold like here, so he put him outside. It was nice and cold. The Coke. And then in the morning, when he got up, he noticed that the box, the cans were open, and on a stump, the empty can there. My dad noticed that the neighbor boy lived in the neighborhood, that he was strolling around at the farm. So I waited. Now what? Huh. And then Larry said, well, my dad went to the store, bought more Coca-Cola, and put the cans on the stump, waited. He saw the neighbor boy coming and drinking the Coca-Cola. Well, we knew that the boy was very poor. The parents never could buy him Coca-Cola. No issue. The summer came. Now I learned a new word. I didn't know that word before. You might know the word. 4-H fair. I didn't know what that is. But I figured out after he talked. So he said, my dad invited this neighbor boy to a 4-H fair and show off one of our prize cattle. He gave him a new t-shirt. What do you think how this boy, our neighbor boy, felt when he could show off one of the most beautiful cattle? He felt really good. And then Larry said, you know what happened to the boy? He was good in school. He got a job. He got married. He lives over there. He has a beautiful home. He's doing well. And I said, well, I'm glad your dad didn't go to the police and reported him when he stole his Coca-Cola. Who knows what happened to the boy then? You know? And I said, yeah, that was how my dad raised us. This was Larry. When we walked around the farm, we met a farm worker. He said, oh, I love to work here. I love to work with Larry. Well, then we had Kai, and Kai saw the big tractor, John Deere. Larry said, you want to come up? Oh, Kai was on this tractor, right, Kai? And he let you drive this tractor. I was amazed, this huge tractor. He was a friendly guy. Larry was a man who had a purpose in life. It was his family. He loved his work. He was good to people. So does life have a purpose? What do you think? If we listen to Jesus, it does. Jesus says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, food, clothes, friends, family, will be given to you as well. Now, Pastor Rick Warren writes in his New York bestseller book, Purpose Driven Life, and many of you read the book. If not, I encourage you. We still have copies in the library. Here Warren writes, you cannot find your life purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. End of quote. Rick Warren gives an example what a purpose statement looks like at the end of his book. Here, I'm showing you a few examples, what he says about purpose. And I'm showing them to you that might be inspire you that you say, I'm going home today and I write a sentence down what maybe God wants me to do in my life. So here he says, my life purpose is to worship Christ with my heart, serve Christ with my shape, fellowship with his family, grow like him in character, and fulfill his mission in the world so he receives glory. A shorter version, my goal is Christ-likeness. My ministry is, my mission is, my motive is to glory is the glory of God. Well, I'm going to share with you now my life purpose statement. I wrote it down first in 2005. I adjusted it a little bit, and you see why. My life purpose is to be a Christ follower, to make Christ known through preaching and serving others. I fulfill this purpose by welcoming people into a faith community where they can develop and grow in their relationship with God and each other. My life purpose is to share God's love with my wife Melanie and my sons, Marek, Kai, Henry, and Yannick, by being a caring and loving husband and father. I fulfill this purpose by spending regular time with them and being available for them. I would like to learn, play, and grow with them in our love towards God and each other. So, I encourage you to write your own purpose statement in your life. When you write it, please remember one thing, that God loves you so much and wants you to live that purpose. So does life have a purpose? By learning and experiencing more about God's love, we find out what our purpose is. And I'm convinced that each life given by God has a unique purpose. So here's the challenge that I throw out for you this morning, and this will help you figuring out this life purpose. It's a tough challenge, and you might say, ooh, I don't want to do that. So I'm saying to all of you, maybe do something you never did before. Be a part of the Explore God study. There are many groups, and you might say, well, these groups, they don't fit me or the time doesn't work. You can start your own group. You can start and invite a friend. Yesterday, between 4 and 6 at our house, we started a new group, Melanie did and Megan. It was snowy. We thought, well, will people come? They came. Kids from Hoffman Estate, from Bartlett, came and brought their music instruments. And they had a jam session. So there were some saxophones, some drums, some clarinet, trombone, and they played music. And Megan helped them with that. And then they had pizza. And then they watched the video about life purpose. And they had a conversation. And they had to figure out, just like the men's group on Saturday morning, said, I'm fine with life goals, but I have a hard time with purpose. What is this purpose thing? I can make goals, but purpose? So they talked about this. See what happened next week. So here's the challenge. Consider to be hard and see what God can help you, how God you can discover and live and find what your purpose in life is. It's powerful and rewarding when you know what your purpose is. And I'm praying that each one of us who's listening this morning will be on that path. Dear God, you love us so much that you made each one of us unique. And you made each one of us special. You created us with a clear life purpose in mind. You know it exactly what we need to do in our lives. Help each one of us to find out what this purpose is. And let us live out joyfully this purpose. Give us courage to reach out to a friend and invite her or him to explore God. All this we pray in Jesus' name, who loves us and has a purpose for our lives. Amen.